Mental health issues are on the rise on college campuses across the country. And as a mental health professional, I would be amiss as we approach the opening of schools to not talk about mental health on campuses, universities across the country and around the world.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
Welcome to this week's Dr. Stem Show. I want to talk to the freshman students because I always work with high school students. So guess what? It's time for high school seniors to transition into college. And there's a lot that they need to know. But my concern is about their mental health. What to know? What are the signs? What is going to be, you know, happening on campus that might stress them out? You know, how do they find help? And for the parents, for them to get a piece of mind knowing that they have all the tools and everything of taking care of their students when they get to be on campus, their mental health. So we are talking about mental health on campus. Life on campus, dealing with the mental health is what we're going to be talking about this week. So, congratulations. You're either finishing your senior year of high school or already off to college. This is a huge milestone in your life and a very exciting time. I wonder, are you prepared for it? I'm talking to all the high school students, all the seniors. So if you're listening in today and you're a parent, you're a teacher, you're an adult who knows someone who just graduated from high school, please, please let them listen to this podcast because it's going to be very important, very informative, and has a lot of information that could help them with the adjustment from home to college, from high school to college as well. But mostly, it's going to talk to them about what to look out for, the signs, the symptoms, as well as, you know, what they can do to get treatment. So what I want to do is let me start off by talking about the top 10 freshman year issues according to mentalhealthamerica.net. They had a research and they listed the top 10 issues that every freshman has complained about. Number one, great expectations. Expect to feel overwhelmed and know that you're not alone. You've been hearing about college for years, and now you're here. It's time for you to have your chance to be in college. College can be one of the best times of your life, but it can also be one of the most difficult and challenging times. You will make new friends, you'll have a new home, new classes, new routine, exciting and overwhelming at the same time. If you experience feelings of sadness and loneliness, don't worry. These feelings are very normal, especially if you've never lived away from home, because there are some students that were living in boarding school when they were in high school. But if you were one that was living from home, you're going to feel anxiety. You're going to feel, you know, afraid to be away from home. So those are what we call normal feelings when you first enter college. Get involved in campus activities and use your social media to help you stay connected with your friends and family back home. And also you can form study groups with that so that you're not alone, because the one thing that you don't want to do is to be alone. Number two, roommates. You may have never had to share such a small space with someone before, let alone a perfect stranger. Some people are lucky. I have a niece who's going in, Nicole Marange. She's going into college. She's going to be a freshman. She was lucky because she is at a college where she has four of her friends. So two of them are rooming together, and then the other two were lucky enough to also room together. So if you're like my niece, you're lucky. you know. But if you're not, then most people will be living with a stranger. So living with others can be challenging. Work through conflicts by regularly communicating with your roommate and setting rules for the room or suite that everyone can agree on. You and your roommate don't have to be best friends. The important thing to remember is to respect one another. Hard? It can be, but it's possible. You can make this work. A lot of us have gone through it, and a lot of people have gone through it. So guess what? If everybody else has gone through living with a roommate, somebody who was a stranger, and some even end up being the best of friends, and some it's just a roommate, then it's possible. You'll figure out a way to make that happen. The number three thing they talk about as a top freshman issue is drinking. Drinking for some students is part of the college experience. If you're not interested in drinking, there are many other things you can do that don't involve alcohol, like having a game night, going to a comedy club, seeing a movie, checking out a concert, maybe going to the library and finding out more books and, you know, movies to see in the library. First and foremost, make sure you are of legal age to drink. That's one thing that you have to be aware of, because otherwise you have your first drink in college, get arrested, and all hell will break loose. If you decide to drink, it's important to remember to be smart and stay safe. Never, never accept a drink from a stranger. Know your limits and stick with your friends. They talk about number four as freshman 15. The freshman 15 may be an exaggeration, but it is no myth that people can get out of shape during their freshman year. Eating lots of junk food and drinking too much alcohol, as well as sugary beverages, can cause you to pack on the pounds. Remember to eat healthy, drink plenty of water, and exercise so you can stay fit. This one is dear to my heart, because one of the things that you do not want to develop is diabetes, because with lots of sugary stuff and cookies and sweet stuff and alcohol, that can also raise your, you know, sugar blood levels, as well as, you know, get diabetes, and that's not a good thing to do. So watch what you eat. You don't want to get fat, neither would you want to get diagnosed with diabetes or any other health, you know, issue in that matter. Number five of the freshman issues is sleep. I actually had a client, you know, before I tell you what they say, I actually had a client this week in my office. A parent came in with their daughter who just graduated from high school, and this mother said, "Listen, I need you to help me to talk to my daughter about her sleep pattern, because she's going to college in 2 weeks and she's sleeping the whole day. And I'm trying to tell her that she has no time to sleep like that when she gets into the college. So I want her to start having the habits of staying awake and sleeping only at night and then staying awake during the day. But I need you to, you know, work with her and talk to her because she's not listening to me." You know, I looked at this mother and I was just quiet. And she says to me, "Well, I mean, do you think I'm crazy? Do you think?" I said, "No, ma'am, you're not crazy. But I think one of the things that you're missing is we only have 2 weeks for your daughter to even change, you know, her sleep patterns. But then the other thing is when they get to college, which you'll find out when you get to college, trust me, there are things that you will change, you know, your habits without mom, dad, or anybody getting on your back. And you know what? You'll have to do it, because otherwise if you sleep during the day, you miss your classes, you fail. I mean, it's a trickle down. So there are certain things that are natural consequences. They are natural that, you know, people will conform to their sleep patterns, or, you know, going to work on time and, you know, respecting their supervisors or respecting their adults and teachers doing their home. There are certain things that you just have to trust that your daughter will be able to adjust when she gets into college. So I, you know, I'm hoping that the daughter does do it. I did talk to the daughter about it, but I didn't make it a big deal because then she's going to college. She's stressed out. She's frustrated. She's missing her friends. She's having to pack. It was a lot of things on a plate. And one thing I didn't want to do was to be one of those people that, you know what, put more on her plate. And also, I managed to talk to mom about that and make sure that she understands that probably this is not the time to put, you know, more pressure on her daughter. So sleep is vital. If you don't get enough sleep, it can affect your class, your work, your grades, I mean, everything. You know, you'll be moody, you'll be angry because you haven't slept. So it's really, really critical that you get your sleep pattern right. You'll have to work harder to get through assignments and have less energy to enjoy your time with friends if you don't sleep. So it takes away a whole lot, you know, from your body as well. So you're going to have to recharge your body. And, you know, most people resort to drinking more caffeine or taking those energy drinks because they didn't sleep at least 8 to 9 hours. And you don't want that because remember, we just talked about, you know, freshman 15, not packing yourself with all that stuff there. Number six, they talk about money. Everyone knows that the average college student is tight on their budget. So you want to make sure that you mind your money. Fortunately, many restaurants, movie theaters, and museums, they offer student discounts. So look out for that. Be creative. It is possible for you to have fun without spending that much money, a lot of money. So start to, you know, budget. Visit your campus career center. You know, they also have help on budgeting. If you're one of those kids that was just used to be lavish in spending money, you need to be careful. Be careful with credit cards. It is very easy to get into debt. So spend wisely and avoid impulse purchases. Homesickness. Freshmen struggle with homesickness whether half an hour away from home or at a campus across the country. Keep in touch with your family and old friends, but be sure to be a part of the campus community and make new friends at school. As time passes and the campus feels more comfortable, your homesickness will also lessen. Number eight of the top freshman year issues, sex and sexuality. If you're sexually active, remember to stay safe. Go to your healthcare center to get more information on safe sex practices. Even if you trust your partner, you may not know his or her entire sexual history. If you have questions about your sexuality, then you also need to talk to a campus counselor or a trusted family member or friend. Because when you go to college, that's when, for some students, because some already came out when they were in high school, but, you know, a lot of students, because you're away from home, you're independent, you're by yourself, that's when you really start to explore your sexuality. That's when you really want to get to know, you know, what orientation you are, and, you know, whether it's probably now you feel a little bit more inclined to want to come out to your family. So all those things, you need support. Make sure you seek a counselor on campus to talk about that. Number nine of the top 10 freshman issues by the Mental Health America was schoolwork. Remember why you are here in the first place. You have to determine whether you are there to socialize in college or you're there to get a degree, an education, and to enhance yourself. You've got to make that decision because otherwise, you know what? You're going to be taken away with everything else except what you're really there for, which is your schoolwork. Set aside a certain time each day devoted to studying. Studying with other classmates can help you meet people and get better grades. It also can help you better organized and also, you know, on task if you have other people that can keep you on task. Set realistic goals for yourself. If you feel stressed out, take a break, stretch, exercise, or even call a friend. Avoid pulling all-nighters. It can interfere with the quality of your work as well as your mood and attentiveness in other classes. I tell you, all-nighters are usually pulled by people that procrastinate and leave everything to the last minute. You don't want to do that. You get overwhelmed. And then sometimes that's when you miss something that you could have done on time and it would have been an easier, you know, assignment for you. But because you left it the last minute, it becomes harder because you're under pressure and then you don't do it right. Then you fail it or you have to redo it again. So either way, I say plan, set time for your schoolwork and remember to study. The study habits will be different now you're in college, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later in the segment. Number 10 is organization. At home, you have your parents, you have your teachers, sisters, brothers, you have your coaches to provide you with structure, schedules, and timelines for completing homework assignments or anything that you need to do to come back home. You know, curfew, they give you curfews to come back home. Well, college professors may give you all of your assignments for the semester on the first day of class. Did you hear me? You might get all the work that you're expected to do in the whole semester on your first day of class. Because there's an expectation in college, believe it or not, that you'll manage your time well, you'll manage your resources, and you'll also manage your workload. For some reason, they just believe that because you've taken that next step, you are declaring that you are an adult and you're going to be a responsible adult, which is a responsible student. So make sure that if you're given those assignments, that you pace yourself, you schedule yourself to make sure that you do not leave everything until the last minute. There's no excuses. Most of the professors will not allow you to retake or extend time because guess what? They gave you everything on the first day of school. So that's why there's not usually any leeway or any room for them to work with you. So, you know, real quick, you know, make sure that you have everything that you need when you go to school. So as you're packing now, put a checklist and check off everything that you might need, because if you have roommates and you know you don't know this person, you don't want to be starting to borrow everything from them on the first day. And you know what? They might be rude and not want to share anything with you, and that'll be your first stressor. You don't want to be stressed out with that. So, are you ready? I know you are. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of freshmen in college have said that they had no idea how much they have to, you know, to carry with them. They had no idea what they needed to do to read and study. They didn't know how to manage their time. So that's why I gave you those 10 things so that you can start managing your time.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Now, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is 100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, I'll tell you what, 90-plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally, and I think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy, you'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus, you'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutloud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you.
Now, let's talk about stress or depression, because most people get confused. Am I depressed? Am I stressed? So I want you to know the difference between being stressed or depressed. Stress, when we talk about stress, sometimes it's actually good because it motivates you, but then it's bad when it wears you down. Many, many factors contribute to stress, especially in the first year of college, when you're in college. And these, you know, the stressors, that the things that might stress you, they can even affect, you know, and change your whole being, your body, your mind, and find yourself, you know, really, really in bad shape. So let's talk about, you know, a little bit about the statistics. In 2010, you know, there was a survey that was done by the American College Health Association where they said 28% of college students reported feeling so depressed at some point they had trouble functioning, and 8% sought treatment for depression. The good news is that depression is a highly treatable condition. However, it's not something you can snap out of yourself. So it's important that you get help, and you are not alone. You need to not feel bad or even feel that you're going to be judged because you're seeking help for depression, because there are a lot of people that suffer from depression because it's treatable. Seek treatment and know when, and you know, you're feeling depressed. And I'll talk about those symptoms, you know, in a little bit. How do you tell the difference between stress and depression? Well, both of them can affect you in similar ways, but there are key differences. Symptoms of depression can be much more intense. They last at least 2 weeks. And depression causes powerful mood swings, mood changes. And then, you know, there's sadness and despair that some people even have, you know, moments where they're just crying for no reason. You may feel even exhausted to the point that you don't even know why you're so tired. Well, let me just, you know, take a minute and talk about the common symptoms of stress and depression. So for stress, you're going to have trouble sleeping. You're going to feel overwhelmed. You'll have problems with your memory. You will have problems with concentration. Change in your eating habits. Sometimes you might eat more, and sometimes you don't even want to eat at all. You might eat less. You might even feel nervous and anxious. Feeling angry, irritable, or easily frustrated is also a sign of stress. Feeling burned out from studying or schoolwork. Feeling that you can't overcome difficulties in your life. That means, you know, let's say a friend doesn't want to talk to you, you know, from back home or, you know, even there at the campus. It might even affect you more, and you think, why am I so bogged down with this? You know, okay, we broke up. Okay, this person doesn't want to talk to you, but it keeps nagging at you that you have difficulty overcoming it. Then it's a sign of stress. Trouble functioning in class or in your personal life. You just feel anxious. You just don't feel yourself, and you know, you're short. You just, you know, get irritable real easy as well. That's a sign of stress. So those are the stress symptoms. Now for depression, depressed people have a tendency of withdrawing from other people. They feel sad and hopeless, lack of energy, enthusiasm or motivation. They have trouble making decisions. You might find yourself being restless, agitated, and irritable even more than you would when you were stressed out. You'll find yourself eating more or sometimes eating less as usual. Sleep. Some people will sleep a lot. They don't want to get up. And some people can't even sleep. So your sleep pattern changes, you know, with depression. You also have trouble concentrating. You also will have trouble with memory. You might not remember things, and all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute, why am I forgetting this here? You might even feel bad about yourself or feeling guilty about things that probably you overcame a long time ago, and they come to surface, and all of a sudden you go, what? Why is this bothering me again now? Or why is this bothering me now? And then you feel angry and you just, you know, feel rage sometimes. You know you are depressed. You might even feel like you cannot overcome any difficulties or, you know, any challenges that you might be facing. And then you start having thoughts of suicide. I say this, sure, I have to dedicate it to two Zimbabwean students who died in Boston about 3 years ago when I was living in Boston. And that was the first time that I had experienced seeing students that came in from Zimbabwe and were on campus and committed suicide. It didn't dawn on me to start talking to students about, you know, mental health and seeking help and talking about some of these symptoms. Because what happened, I remember with one of the students, a young lady, she didn't have money to enroll for the next semester. So they told her that, you know, she wasn't eligible to register because she didn't have any money. And for that, she didn't want to go back to Zimbabwe and thought, you know what, if I can't go back to school, I'm not going back to Zimbabwe. So she went through brewing for that whole semester, not knowing what to do, didn't have anybody to talk to. I think she spoke to her boyfriend about it and just got concerned about it. And then that was it. Didn't talk about it. And the next thing they knew, she had killed herself and left a note. And it was heartbreaking. Because, you know, depression will cause that you have a situation like that where there could have been other alternatives. You know, people fundraise, you take a semester off, and then, you know, you work. I had to take time off from school. I had to do a 4-year degree in 8 years because I couldn't afford it. So I had to go into the nursing home, work in the nursing home as a nurse's aide, and then pay for classes one at a time and sometimes two at a time because I couldn't afford to go in there. All those options could have been discussed with that young lady. She could have spoken to a counselor on campus or even outside and reached out to people like myself who are therapists to give her advice and help her out. But you know what? She didn't know, any better of what the help was there. So I can only imagine the emotions and, you know, the resolution of resorting to, I might as well be better off dead. And she did kill herself. So those are some of the symptoms that you want to be aware of, that if you start feeling like you want to, you know, you're better off dead, or you're sad, or there's no solutions to anything that you're going through at school, then that might be signs of depression. So let's talk about what are some of the things that you can do to reduce your stress, because stress is going to be imminent. You're going to feel stressed. You're going to college for the first time. You're going to feel stressed out. So if you're stressed out, there are many good ways that you can get relief from. As I said, make sure that you open yourself up to talking to your roommates, your dorm mates, your classmates, and just explore getting to know, you know, people. It's going to be different than in high school, because in high school, it was kind of hard. I see with the high school students that, you know what, the students don't want to talk to you, and then, you know, they mock you. But college, people are a little bit more mature. So you'll find somebody to talk to. You'll find somebody that, you know, you can be friends with. But drink lots of water, and also make sure that you exercise. Take time to exercise, because just sitting there and eating and brooding over, oh my God, I'm stressed out, that's not going to help you. Make a plan. Figure out what is really causing the stress. Think as many possible causes as you can. And one of them, of course, is going to be away from home. You're away from your friends. You're away from, you know, everybody that you love. So that's going to be causing your stress. But write down as many possible situations, scenarios that are causing you stress as possible. Then give your plan a try. You know, see what you can do. Can you talk to your friends? Can you talk to a counselor? Can you talk to your mom once a day? Can you text message her just to, you know, feel soothed so that you're just not, you know, oh my God, I can't even talk to them the whole day. So put a plan. What can you do for each one of the things that you've listed? Put something that you can do in order to feel better about that situation rather than just, oh my God, this is stressing me out. You know, what can you do about it? Is there, and if there's nothing that you can do and you're in class and you can't talk to them, then put it there that, you know what, after school every day, I can, you know, talk to my mom for at least 5-10 minutes, which I know it probably gonna get old anyway because she might be stressed out more than you are. Okay. Take care of your body. As I said, exercise usually really helps, you know, with stress. And don't suffer in silence. Talk to someone. Same with the depression. You want to make sure that you reach out for help. We're going to talk a little bit more about, depression in a little bit. Homesickness is the number one thing that stresses people out. So here are some ways that I'm just going to throw out there for you to deal with homesickness. Be active and make friends on campus. Keep in touch with friends. There's social media these days. I'm sure you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, LinkedIn. You are somewhere where you're connected with the people from home. Use that and make sure that you keep in touch. Go home. If you're closer to home or you are able to get on the bus, I know the students that I was talking to, they're going 3 hours away, but then they say, do you know what? They can take the bus and it's only $20 to come back home on the weekend. That's manageable. I'm sure that they can afford that and their parents will be able to afford that. So they're going to be coming back home. So I know if you're able to do that, get back home, write out your feelings, as I said, and talk to the resident advisor because on campus, you have resident advisors as well. Most of them have done this for years and they're willing and open to talking to you about some of the things that you can do. And there's also an academic advisor or school counselors that you can also talk about. They understand. You're a freshman. And that's why I wanted to take this show today to make sure that I can talk to you as a freshman. I'm also a counselor, as you know, and I do life coaching and career coaching as well as counseling over the phone. So if you're one of those people that don't have anybody that you can talk to and you can contract, you know, with a coach online or Skype, please get in touch with me. You can email me right here on America Out Loud, Dr. Stem, that's DRSTEM @ AmericaOutLoud.com, and you know, certainly I'll be able to work out a plan where I can talk to you about how you can best manage, you know, whatever is stressing you out at that moment. One of the things that I don't encourage you to do is drinking or using substances for your stress or your depression. For some reason, when people are depressed, they may experience, you know, other mental health problems, is anxiety that goes with that as well, you know, or fears. And most resort to drinking on many college campuses. There's a lot of binge drinking that you get to hear about and that you see. And it's almost like it's normal for college students to have all this drinking beer and smoking. Well, it's not a good thing if you're not used to be drinking or smoking. And if you know you have depression or you know that you have some of those signs that I was talking about, binge drinking can cause lasting damaging. I tell you, one night of heavy drinking can impair your ability to think clearly for up to 30 days. And most students don't understand that. You can drink and have those shots and everything, but for 30 days, that drinking can really impair the way that you think and, you know, wake up and become lethargic and you don't want to wake up. So be mindful of drinking. Tens of thousands of today's college students, you know, will eventually probably, I hate to say, die of alcohol-related causes, you know, liver damages, car accidents, heart disease. And most of them will tell you that they started drinking when they were in high school. I mean, in college. That's when they started drinking more. They started in high school, yes. But then they started binge drinking and drinking more when, you know, they're in college. So you need to... I can't tell you enough. You know, saying no, like we used to tell you when you were in high school, is probably, you know, not going to be enough. Because you need to mind your drinking whilst you're there. In fact, you know, research says as many as 7% of college students admit to having been engaged in drinking, binge drinking. And when they do binge drinking, guess what comes with that? Sexual activity that you haven't consented to. So it's really, really critical that you watch out what you drink, how you drink, who you drink with, because something like that, you wake up in the morning and you've been raped or you've slept with someone without knowing, it is rape because you didn't consent or, you know, to it whilst you were sober, you were drunk. And they also say 90% of all campus rape occur when alcohol has been used or substance abuse has been used. You do not want to be the statistics. 90% is really high, and that's scary. How do you know if you're abusing alcohol and or drugs? Well, I know a lot of people always say, well, I don't drink that much. I don't smoke that much. I don't snort that much. Well, here are some questions to ask yourself. If you are one that probably is asking yourself whether, you know what, I'm not abusing anything, ask yourself these questions. Is your personality different when you drink or do drugs? How do you know that? Ask your friends. How am I when I drink? How do I look? How do I sound? What do I do? Let them take a video of you when you're drunk and show it to you. Do you drink or do drugs to gain courage to face social situations? Are you usually a shy person? And then when you drink, you can talk, or when you smoke or do drugs, then you're more open. Has your drinking or drugging ever caused you to miss class or appointments? Do you use alcohol or drugs to escape when you're upset? Is it hard for you to stop drinking? Or for you to even just have one drink or two drinks max? Do you always end up drunk once you start drinking? Have you tried and failed to drink less alcohol or drink none at all? Have you tried and failed to cut down or stop using illicit drugs? Do you sometimes find yourself having trouble remembering what you did whilst you were under the influence of alcohol or other drugs? And do you wake up in the morning and sometimes regret having done something because you couldn't remember what you did? Have your friends, especially, or family members tried to tell you that they're concerned about your drinking and you didn't pay them no mind? And has your classwork ever suffered because you had been drinking or using drugs and missed an assignment, missed school, missed an exam, or didn't do well? And lastly, ask yourself this question. Have you needed a drink in the morning to get going after a night of heavy drinking? Or needed to smoke or get high before you go to class or you do anything? And if you do, say yes or have answers to these questions, then maybe you might be having a problem. I urge you to seek help. Talk to a counselor in college and talk to a family member to seek help.
We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
We're talking today about mental health and the college campus and the college student. So what's your plan? College with a mental health disorder. Whether you're just starting your college career or returning to campus after being diagnosed, having a plan in place as you start college on how to manage your mental health disorder is a key part of setting yourself up for success. Or also being open to knowing that you probably have not been diagnosed with a mental health disorder, but you've been struggling and didn't know what it is that was going through with you, then this is a part now that I'm just going to talk to you about what to do, how you can make sure that you get the help that you need. So the first thing that you want to do is to make a mental health plan. Talk with your family before you leave, and also with all the counselors, the therapists, the psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors that have been part of your care team when you were home in high school. Make sure you talk to all of them and create a plan for your comfortable, you know, for them to comfortably take care of you while you're away, or to have somebody else know what was going on with you and what you need when you're on campus. So how do you do this? You have to figure out, according to Mental Health America, what they call the five W's: who, what, when, where, and why. Who, decide if you continue working with the current providers in person. For all my students that I'm working with, we have agreed and decided with the family that we will do Skype and over the phone sessions whilst they're in college, because every holiday they're going to be coming in and we do in person. But in addition to those that I know have a little bit of severe mental health issues that might need more frequent face-to-face, you know, on campus, I have also arranged that they see someone on campus in addition to talking to me via the phone, because I've worked with them for a while, so they know me, they're comfortable with me, but I also want them to connect with somebody on campus, that way they can do, you know, eyeball on them. So that might work for you as well. So decide who will see you. Your insurance provider may, you know, providers may be able to give you guidance if you're here in the United States, to see, you know, what providers that your daughter, your son can see whilst they're in college as well. So be sure to contact the health insurance to make sure that those people that will be taking over will be covered. I know for the Skype or over the phone sessions, we do those for cash, because insurances don't pay for those, you know, as of yet. So you want to make sure that, you know, you talk to the insurance, you know, companies. Some insurances will pay for them, but most of them still don't. So it's going to be something that you pay out of pocket. The what, think about what specific tools you will use, like talk therapy, medication. Sometimes you might want to join a group, because they're going to have group, you know, therapy over on campus. So determine how often you want to meet with your therapist and how often you want to talk to the other therapists, you know, Skype or via the phone, because this is going to be critical that you know and you plan it accordingly. Because of the schedule in the school, you want to make sure that all that is planned out and it's not overwhelming. If it gets to be overwhelming, I suggest that you have the person that you're talking to on Skype or phone be an every other week schedule person, and then see the person that you see face-to-face on company be the weekly person that you see on a weekly basis, because sometimes it might get overwhelming and that'll be too much for you. When? Determine how often you meet, you know, and where you will meet with the therapist. As I said, once a week is what I would suggest with the one on campus, and then maybe every other week with your, or, you know, Skype therapist if you have one. With the psychiatrist, it's always once a month or once every other month, but decide with the psychiatrist if you're on medications, how often you're going to be seen, or if they will transfer your case to a psychiatrist who's on campus. Make sure that all that is sorted out for you before you go home, or within the first week that you get home, and get your parents to help you out. Where? Consider transportation if you're going to be going outside the campus to be seen. How are you going to get to your appointments is one thing that you have to make sure that you determine. And what may seem like an easy distance to manage might be even much harder when transportation and costs are considered. So then with that stress of you being on campus for the first time, that might be way too overwhelming. You don't want to have to deal with that. The last W is a why. Remind yourself of your goals and why it's important for you to maintain your mental health. I tell you, your mental health matters. It's number one that you need to take care of yourself so that you can be able to focus, so that it doesn't get you, you know, in your way, and then you end up missing classes or you end up being hospitalized. You do not want any of that to come in the way. That's the last why. Just remind yourself of why it's so important for you to follow through with your treatment regimen, even when you're in college. You might be surprised to find out that nearly 33% of college students have taken a prescribed medication for mental health concerns. Because I know a lot of students say, well, I don't want to take any medications when I'm in college. Well, a lot of college students are taking medications if it's prescribed and if it's something that has been determined by your doctors that it's going to help you to take that medications. I urge you to continue taking your medications. If you use medications to manage your mental health disorder, you need to make sure you have enough supplies when you go to college and make sure that you have refills. Don't take two bottles, three bottles for the 3 months, because that's not good. Just have enough prescriptions that you can refill your medications whenever you're out of the prescribed medications that you have now. Do not stop taking your medications suddenly without consulting your doctor. As I said, most students get on campus and they say, well, I don't want to take my medications anymore. Please don't decide that on your own. Do not discontinue your medications on your own. If you would like to try, going without the medications, please talk to your psychiatrist and make sure that they agree with you. They might have to taper you down or give you something to taper you, because sometimes you take yourself off and then you get sick, because you've tapered yourself way too quick and you didn't, give it time to adjust to no dosages at all rather than a lower dosage. So do not get off your medications by yourself. What's the other thing? Find out, any additional services that are available at your school. Like nutrition, do they have someone that can help you with your diet? Because when you're taking medications, you cannot just stick to the, breakfast, lunch, dinner like everybody else. You might need extra snacks because you're taking medications. You might get, a little bit more hungry than the average student. So make sure you work with, the kitchen and the nutrition as well as your medical office on campus to see if they can help you out with that. Overall, wellness for you means that you have a little bit extra to do so that you can make sure that you manage your health well, rather than the next person. So don't even look at the next person to say, well, am I the only one that has to do all this work and go to see the counselors and do all this? No, you got to take care of yourself. Everybody else will have to take care of them, but you have you and you got to take care of yourself. Also, one of the things that you might want to do is to continuously, if you have supportive parents or siblings that understand, you being on medications and you having a mental health, diagnosis that you've had for a while and they've been supportive of you, you can also continue staying in touch and talking to them, because you do not want to be by yourself and feeling like you're alone when you're taking medications. One thing that you also have to know that you have an option is there will be times, if you're a person that's on medication, that you might need to take a leave of absence from school. I've seen that happen quite a few. It's not common. It's not something that, students do a lot of times, and you do not want to manipulate your time in college and just, take time and take a leave of absence. You don't want to do that. So When should you consider taking a leave of absence? Well, let me tell you something. There are certain things that you have to consider when you before you put in an application to take a leave of absence. Your mental health, as I said, matters. But when it's disrupting your ability to participate in your academic and campus life, even, you know, with your medications and counseling, then maybe it's something that you probably need to take some time off and make sure that you go home and manage yourself. If you feel like you're in crisis or that level of distress is becoming intolerable, you cannot tolerate it, and you know sometimes you're having the thoughts of suicide, or the stress and pressure is so high when you're in college and you don't know how to manage it yourself now, and even the medications is not helping, then that's one of reason that you might want to consider taking a leave of absence. Also, if you're not able to access the services you need at college or university and you need to go back home so that you can see all the providers and get your prescriptions filled, then you need to also ask and, you know, fill out forms for a leave of absence. So that's pretty much those are the signs, and you will know that, you know what, it's about taking care of yourself. Then what you will do is you will fill out a form. And most schools will have you fill out a form that you're going to seek further treatment about your mental health. And then what they do is they want you to have a licensed therapist like myself verify that you have been taken care of and you're now, you know, good to go back to school, that you're be more functional, that you won't have any problems with getting back in school. So what I suggest is when you take a leave of absence for mental health, you do not want to take that time and then play around and not follow through with your providers, a psychiatrist or a therapist, and, you know, get treatment. Because what happens is you're going to be trying to find one of me to write your form, fill out your form for you, because now it's time to go back to school. But if I've never seen you, or I didn't see you long enough for me to determine whether you're good to go back to school or not, I'm not going to fill that form, you know, for you, and neither will any of the therapists or doctors that are out there. They won't do it for you. So you need to make sure that you follow through with the treatment. You go back. If you take a leave of absence because of mental health, then you go back and get, you know, the treatment that you need and get taken care of so that you can get that letter to come back to school. Staying healthy. You gotta stay healthy. Remember to do that. For some reason, once you're in college, you're excited that you made it, and I understand that, but you really have to pay attention to your health. So, you know, real quick before we end this podcast, this radio show, which is going to end up being a podcast, here are five easy ways, and some of them I've already spoken to you about, but I'm just going to go real quick and talk about five easy ways that you can avoid being overwhelmed, getting stressed out, and, you know, possibly getting depressed. Exercise. Take advantage of the free on-campus workout facility. Most of these workout places on campus, they are state of the art. Most of the time, I always wish I could go back to college, because that was the best time. You had the best gyms, you know, where they have the treadmills, the weights. You pretty much can work out in there, but there's something about working out, sweating it out, you know, doing yoga, playing ball, walking, running, that just releases endorphins and just releases stressors, and you start to just feel good about yourself. But most of all, your mind clears up. So exercise. Also, you want to reduce stress. You want to reduce the number of things, the stresses, that things that are stressing you out. You have control over what stresses you out and what doesn't stress you out. I know you probably say, yeah, right. What do you mean I have control over what stresses me out? Oh, well, the way you react is going to make a difference. How do you react to stress? You know, so it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you react. And that's why I say you have everything that it takes, and it's your responsibility to reduce stress. So don't add more. Don't, not do your homework, not wake up and attend classes, or procrastinate on things, that just adds more weight, more stress and weight on your shoulders. So that's why I'm saying you have control over what stresses you out or how much stress you're going to have. Avoid liquor, sugaries, energy drinks, to the excess. Avoid making that your resort for not doing things on time, for not waking up. Avoid, you know, overeating or binge eating. You just don't want to do that because they become problems over time. You're there for 4 years, and for some of you, you'll be there for longer than 4 years. You don't want to gain weight or even to find yourself in more stressed out and anxious. Okay. You want to keep some healthy snacks in your dormitory because you're going to eat. Let's face it, you're going to want to eat something, but make them healthy. Pick something when you're not hungry or stressed out, because then we tend to pick out anything and everything when you're hungry or stressed out. Pick out something when you're not that hungry and make sure just you keep a nice stack of good, you know, choice of, you know, maybe peanut butter, apples, trail mix, or something that is healthy. Plan your meals, you know, when you're in college, because sometimes it's just easy to eat all the time, or to eat things that are pizza and, you know, greasy all kinds of the nights, you know. And depending too on, you know, what you're doing, you might not want to just eat at all times of the night. So prepare to balance work and school this time more than what you did in high school. It's going to be key. You know, how many hours do I need to work? You know, it depends on your schedule at school. School first, and then, you know, the extra job and the extra curriculum, you know, work that you want to do. Budget, you know, balance that first. And your job, does it relate to the things that you're doing at school? Because that might even make more sense for you to find a job that relates to what you want to do or your degree that you're doing at school. Okay, and it will be less frustrating if you do it that way, because then you're learning more about what to do, but then you're also in the field that you want to work after you do work. Remember now, your career planning will start right now as you start your freshman year. So, you know, do a little bit at a time, but your mental health matters. I wanted to make sure that I do this show to ensure that you have the signs, the symptoms, and you know to take care of yourself. So if you're a parent, you might want to listen to this as an adult and then share with your college age, you know, child, so that they know what to do and you can help them out. Because even for your parents too, for you as a parent, this is going to be very helpful, some of the information that I have shared here. Thank you for listening to the Dr. Stem Show. Let's do it again next week. If you want to be a guest, there's a topic that you want me to talk about, please don't hesitate to email me at drstem@americaoutloud.com. As I always say, be encouraged and encouraging. This is Dr. Stem.